Before I speak this morning, I just want to introduce some folks who've been around for a few weeks now, and some of you have already got to know them, but I just wanted to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves and say a little bit about what they do when they're not here in cold Edinburgh, when they're back in a very sunny place. So I want you to give a very warm welcome so that they feel the warmth of some sunshine this morning to David and Fanny Njaidi from Malawi. Why don't you come just now? There's a lectern there if you'd like it, but it's up to you. I'll give you the mic there, Penny. Okay. So just come and... So I'll just really hand over to you for you to tell us a bit about why you're in Edinburgh and what you do at home and what life is like.
All right. Amen. Amen. My name is David and my colleague here...
I'm Fanny.
Yeah.
Surname. Okay. Surname is Njaidi. N-J-A-I-D-I. Njaidi.
Yes. So she's my wife, and maybe you may think that we just met in Edinburgh. We are from Malawi. Well, as you can see, I have a visual impairment. I come from Malawi, that's the southern part of Africa. And here, I came as a student, and Fanny is coming to assist me. In Malawi, actually, we just love to pastor. We are like believers. We are believers, and that's why we connected ourselves to this church. So that we keep on burning with Christ whilst we are in Edinburgh. So you are lovely people. We really love being here all the time. Since we came in September, we've really been coming to this church every Sunday. We don't want to miss a service at all. So in Malawi, we are pastoring a church called Tiwale Christian Center. It's under Abba Springs Outreach Ministries. And we happen to be actually the founders of this ministry, me and Fanny. We started ministering in the year 2006, just at our house, because we have been doing it part-time. So we just started at our house. In the area where our house was, in Lilongwe, that's the capital city of Malawi, and the area is called Area 23 location. So we started in our house, just making an impact to people's lives. Then we're just doing prayers, counseling, encouraging one another, the word of God. Then this area, we saw the need was there because so many people were in alcoholism, prostitution, drug abuse, and even witchcraft and all that. So we felt that the only way to transform this community was the word of God. That's why we started inviting people to our house. We pray with them, do some counseling, and so on and so forth. But with the power of Christ, people started to get delivered, and the community started to transform. And then the group increased. So we saw the need of God, the need to actually just start a church. So that's how we started. So the group actually increased, and later from our house, we just constructed a shelter somewhere where we've been using. But last year, March, we had a vision to start constructing actually a church. So we've started constructing, and I think you can see in the picture there, it's now at roofing stage. Yeah, so then because as we interact, you start seeing the needs of the community. So as the vision has been growing, we see there have been some needs in the church. So we started some programs, and some programs that we've started actually include women empowerment program. We've done children and youth program. We have done change church planting program just to spread the gospel to other rural areas of Malawi. Then we have also done some leadership and discipleship training. Just to speak briefly on each one of them, the Women Empowerment Program, I think that this one is mostly in the hands of Fanny. She's the one who runs it mostly. I support and other people, but she will talk more about it. And the Children and Youth Program, mainly to do with education, role modeling, and so on. She also talk about that. Fanny, you want to talk about that?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Indeed, from Tuale Christian Center, there is a program of empowering women. We empower women in different categories. First of all, women are abused in Malawi. So we also look in that area. Women are abused in the family. Women are being abused again. Sexually, financially, all sorts of things. Women are being abused. So my duty there, with the help of the Lord, is to give counseling to the women, assist what to do, and telling them when to do things so that at least they might be helped. Yeah.
Children.
Okay, on the children, we are trying to help children in education. Malawi is one of the developing countries, so people are poor. We are depending on, is it $1?
Less than a dollar. Majority, less than a dollar a day. Less than a pound a day.
Yeah, so we are trying to assist children to go to school. We try, by the help of the God, to have some food so that they might be, at least eat something before they go to school or after coming to school, because other children are denied to go to school because they don't have food. So we help the children in that way. Again, we are helping the youth, more especially. Can you help me in this part?
Yeah, yeah. Counseling them to.
Yeah, help me on the youth.
Okay. So that's it. I think the women, she has explained very well. But for the children and youth, indeed, the programs are actually to do with access to education and also giving them guidance to do some role modeling. Because of cultural issues, sometimes children don't have much self-esteem where they can go. And yet education is the key empowerment we can give to people. So we discovered that the only way to save the future generation is to invest in children and youth. So we are doing this program, which is one of the key programs that we are doing. Poverty issues, cultural issues impact a lot on the children and youth in Malawi, as well as the women. So the women are very, very important, because in Malawi we say once you educate a woman, you have educated everybody in the family. So because they are taking care of the entire family, so they impact a lot. So these are key areas we're working with. But we're also doing church planting, going to the other districts to evangelize, to spread the gospel. In Malawi, we have a problem that most of the evangelism is in the urban areas. So the rural areas are not yet reached. So we manage also once in a year to go to the rural areas to make an impact on their lives. So we have opened 3 centers already in the rural areas. So we are also doing leadership training and discipleship. We would like to build the faith of the leaders. We would like to make them grow in evangelism. So we do it. We put some lessons, but sometimes we invite guest speakers from Malawi or even internationally to come and speak to the people there. Last year we had some speakers from Kenya, we had another speaker from US, and we had another speaker from Zimbabwe. So we have started making connections already, and I think next time it will be from Edinburgh. Yeah, I know people who like to go to holiday to Poland. I've heard a lot about Poland and this church, but now it will be Malawi and this church. Yeah, so basically we are doing this, and in our profession, we are doing pastoring part-time because we are also working. We've got full-time jobs in Malawi. That's all, yeah. And we are working in the Ministry of Education. Fanny is a teacher trainer. She prepares teacher trainees to know more about special needs education, education of children that have disabilities and other learning difficulties. And me, I'm just a policymaker and monitoring standards. I work with the central government in Malawi. So I've been in touch mostly with the schools and also the international community. Some other time, even people from Scotland come and do projects in our country. So we've been meeting and discussing the way forward on our country. Yeah, so that's what we're basically doing. All these years, looking from where we started and where we are, we see that it is not possible with God, with man, but it is only possible with God. You can see we've been working part-time, but also I've been working, you can see I have a disability. And most of the time I was saying, what contribution can I make in this community? But with God, things are happening, and we are getting encouraged every day. And we think we are going to continue our vision to grow big for this church, but also for the service of Malawian people in our country. So that's what we're believing. God is going to manage to give us success in this area. So it has, I think this helps to give you to know us, where we come from and what we do in Malawi. And let's see if there are key questions, Colin.
Yeah, just one thing to tell us, David, is what you're doing, what you and Fanny are actually doing in Edinburgh at the moment, because you've got a reason for being here.
Okay, in Edinburgh, we came in September, and I came as a student. I'm enrolled at Moray House School of Education. I'm pursuing a master's program in special needs and inclusive education. So this is a one-year program, so we're still here until summer to pursue this goal.
Great. Yeah. And I think, Fanny, you're working in special needs, aren't you, in Edinburgh University? You're helping David, aren't you, basically?
Yeah, she's helping me.
Excellent.
Yeah. So it's lovely to be here, and we really enjoy being with all of you. And may God bless you. Some of you, you have even taken us to your homes. God bless you abundantly. And some of you have come even to visit us at where we're staying. So God bless you abundantly as the fellowship continues. Great. There are a lot of things to learn from here. We have joined the Alpha course, so we're expecting a lot from it.
Yeah, wonderful. Amen.
God bless you a lot. In our language, we say, Ambuye akudalitseni. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's great. Thank you, David and Fanny. It's lovely to hear. Isn't it? Edinburgh's an amazing place. You know, we're right on the end of Europe, sort of about to fall off into the Atlantic, or nearly. And all these people come from all these places. When we were sitting at the Alpha table on Thursday night, I mean, David and Fanny were next to us. And then the other side of me, there were two Romanian people. And then there were three Polish people sitting opposite me. And it was amazing the number of nations that there are in this city. And so it's fantastic to be able to get to know the world through the place we're in. And of course, you're probably aware, many of you are aware. Is Janice here this morning? Janice around? Yes, you remember that Janice was in Malawi working in a hospital there up until, you were there up until a year ago? In the 90s. Okay, oh dear. It feels like a couple of years ago, doesn't it, Janice? But there is quite a special link. I know that Janice has got to know David and Fanny a little bit, but there is quite a special link between Scotland and Malawi through the work of David Livingstone, going back to the 19th century. And there's a very strong respect and honour and love for the Scottish nation. I don't know if any of you went to see the David Livingstone exhibition at the museum when it was on, but they had a terrific video presentation there, and some of the Malawian people there who were speaking about Scotland were really very honouring. And they also had some Malawian people who were coming over to visit his birthplace, Livingstone's birthplace. So it's interesting the way God brings hearts together. And so we really pray for you, David and Fanny, that your time here will be a blessing and that you'll be able to carry back blessing. And who knows where the future goes in our friendship together. But every blessing for you while you're here. You'll be glad to know I'm not going to give you a full preach this morning. You'll be very glad to know that, because actually, Drew's already said to me that I said, can we back end some of the worship? And he said, that usually means you get to preach longer. So, point taken. And I have got I have got less to say. Would you just, I want to talk this morning about walking in the Spirit. I want to talk really from a personal perspective. So I'm going to sort of a little, by way of a little bit of testimony, I suppose, and just what God's doing with me, rather than just sort of talking about principles from the Scripture. But would you turn with me to Paul's letter to the Galatians? Paul's letter to the Galatians. This is one of my favourite letters of Paul's. I lectured on it for a number of years at King's Bible College, and every time I come back to it, I'm always reminded of what Martin Luther said about Galatians when he said, Galatians is my Katie von Brora. And Katie von Brora was his wife. And Martin Luther was so enamoured of the book of Galatians that he likened it to his wife Katie. And I understand why he feels that, because there's so much in here. We're going to read a few verses from verse 16 of chapter 5. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the sinful nature. You won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other, so that you don't do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under law. And by the way, Paul has just spent a number of chapters explaining to them why they shouldn't be putting themselves under the Jewish law, particularly of circumcision, because they're now living by grace. Now, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So what I really want to communicate in these few minutes I'm speaking is I want to challenge myself and us together as a community to live our lives powered and animated by the Spirit, living through our Spirit, and not by my own mental, emotional, psychic energy fueling my body and soul. Now, I use that word psychic deliberately because the Greek word for soul is psyche. And we sometimes get a bit mixed up about what psyche really means. Where psychology comes from is obviously looking at that, looking at our inner person. But actually, sometimes when we talk about a psychic, there's kind of a pseudo-spiritual link to that. Well, psychical things have nothing to do with the spirit. Psyche is within us. And actually, there are some things that counterfeit themselves as being spiritual that are actually just from man. And if you want to know more about that, I'm not going to mention any more than this. There's a wonderful online piece of writing that you can get hold of by the famous Watchman Nee, who wrote in the middle of the last century, called The Latent Power of the Soul. The Latent Power of the Soul. Now, if you want more reference to that, come and see me. I'm not going to dwell on it anymore. But I am saying that what we've known as psychic being to do with out there is not. It's actually in here. At the end of last year, I became aware of how tired I was getting. Not unusual. I'm getting on in years now. Not that old, but my energy isn't as high. But I was also noticing, and my wife was noticing, and others were noticing, how emotional and how exhausted I was becoming. I was in Street Pastors Management Group the other night, and I was sort of talking about this. It wasn't actually the Pastors Management Group. It was another meeting I was in. But one of the ladies said, yeah, you really are doing too much, aren't you? You were really exhausted. So I thought, oh dear, other people are noting it even beyond the community. But it was good work. I was doing good things. But what I was doing, and I realized I still hadn't have a tendency to do, and what every one of us can do, is to work on body and soul power, on my batteries, on my fuel supply. I worry that some, if not a lot of, what I do in church, or what we do, I'm trying to use the word I so that I don't start putting it on all of us. But when I say I or us, I'm talking about the community corporately. But I worry that what I'm doing in church can often not be plugged into the presence of the living God. I've been reading Bill Johnson's book, Hosting the Presence, over the holiday, and he has a startling statement towards the end of the book. And he says, if the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the early church, 95% of what they did would have come to a halt. If the Holy Spirit withdrew from the 21st century church, 95% of what they do would carry on. Very sobering. Very sobering. You might want to challenge that. But it was sobering to think about that. I can do so much without reference to Jesus. I can give you a theologically sound message from my mind. I can sing a rousing song from my heart and my voice. Now that's not sin, by the way, but it's coming from within. You're getting Colin Symes. You're not necessarily getting the Spirit of God through my spirit. And it's what Paul talks about when he uses quite a complicated Greek word. He talks about, well, it's sometimes translated as flesh. A New International Version has translated it as sinful nature. The Greek word is sarx, where we get our word sarcastic from. It's about the body, or sarcophagus. The word sarcophagus literally means a flesh eater, not very pleasant. What you put someone in and they decompose. So a sarcophagus is an eater of the flesh. But in Galatians 5, Paul lists the products of the flesh, using that word sarx, the works. And when he uses the works, he's talking about the things that the flesh produces, the things that the flesh actually works hard to produce. Now, although the word in Greek strictly means the physical matter, the body, this stuff on our bones, it's clear from the fruits of the flesh he talks about that there's a lot involved about the inner person as well as the outer. It's not all an outer expression. So he's talking about things like anger, hatred, envy, contention, jealousy, all these things that are not, they're not body, they're inside us, they're coming from our mind and our emotions. So we could put the flesh bit under the heading body and soul conglomerate. Body and soul together, the inward part of us, what we are without being linked to anything beyond us. Now, there is quite a bit of discussion going on, and there's probably some of you sitting here who are theologically apt, and you're thinking, is he trying to talk about three parts, body, soul, and spirit? I'm not sure if that's good Hebrew theology. I'm not sure either. because there are some scholars who say that the Hebrew way of seeing a man only saw one unitary life, while the Greeks were a lot more dualistic. They would see two or three parts of us. But whatever we say about how we're made up, it's quite biblical, because Paul's just done it to talk about life lived dominated by the body and soul, opposed to one animated by the Spirit, made alive by God's Spirit. So we're not trying to separate them out, but we're talking about where the power source comes from. And I want to use a picture which you will all immediately recognize when I start to talk about it, because true to my geekyhood, it's a train picture. Just now, on our railways in Scotland, we have two types of train, except on the days the steam trains come to town, but we won't talk about that. And there might be some going down to the borders shortly, but anyway, we won't go on that either. But just now on our railways, on a daily basis, there are two types of train power. There's the diesel, which is fueled by diesel, strangely enough, and there is electric, which is fueled by overhead fuel from overhead wires. The diesel relies on fuel carried in it. It doesn't need any other outside input, or it goes to the depot and gets filled up. But for the purpose of this, it doesn't draw anything while it's going along. It just runs along the rails and is... You know, if you go between Glasgow and Edinburgh often enough, thank you for the sound effect, that was very helpful. You can do that anytime you like. I love that sound. But if you go between Glasgow and Edinburgh via Falkirk, you will have heard that sound and you will be familiar with it. And if it goes really fast, then it gets more. So that's a diesel train. The electric train is supplied with power through the overhead wires. It goes more... And it sings along. That's why I like the electric train as compared to the diesel. Now, we're going to see actually a lot more electric trains appearing in Scotland. And good news is that one day the train from Glasgow to Edinburgh via Falkirk will not go... It will go... within the next few years. So hang around and you'll see the change. Now, one of the things that modern railway operators want to see happen is for trains running under electric wires to use electric power. That makes sense, doesn't it? But still in Britain at the moment, we have a number of situations where there are diesel trains running long, long distances under electric wires, and they're not able to connect to the electric. They're using diesel power. So a good example of that is one of the longest passenger services in Britain, the Highland Chieftain, that runs from London King's Cross to Inverness every day. It takes about 8 hours. But it runs half of that journey under the wires, and it just goes along quite happily. There it is, coming by Coburn's Path, beautiful stretch of line down by Berwick. I am keeping to the notes, honest. But this is interesting. They're building now a new generation of trains which will solve this problem, because at one end they will have an electric locomotive and at the other end a diesel locomotive. So within the next few years, they won't have to run under the wires. They will go from London to Edinburgh and then carry on to Inverness without. Back to Paul. There is a point to all this, and hopefully you won't just remember the train thing, you'll remember why I'm saying it, and particularly for me. Paul's concern about the Galatian believers is that having started with the power from above through the Holy Spirit, they're now moving into living from self-fueled, polluted religion, relying on fossilized laws which just cough out toxic smoke all over them. They give the impression of being spiritual by doing stuff, by getting circumcised, by obeying the food laws. But these body and soul powered efforts are not producing the fruit of the Spirit in them. And the question I keep asking myself is, how much of my walk with Jesus is like that? How much of my walk with Jesus is actually producing the works of the flesh? Not talking about sin. I know Paul talks about sinful things. But you know, how much of what I'm doing could I do without Jesus and his power? I think the sad thing is I have to say to myself, a fair bit. How much of what I do is, to use another metaphor, under my own steam? Not going there. But how much am I drawing that power from overhead, from above, which alone, only that can produce the life that Jesus is looking for? How much of what I'm doing, of what I live, is sourced in heaven? Sourced in the heart of Jesus. So I'm encouraging myself and us this morning. I'm so blessed, actually, Drew, by that worship. You know, just thank you for leading. We so value. You know, I'm going to go off piece for a moment, but you know, one thing I value about what we're seeking to do in worship here is we're not just seeking to sing good songs. There's endless great songs out there in worship. But I wrote something down this week, and I wrote, I want to go beyond worship. And I mean, I want to go beyond song singing. I want to go to a place where even if I'm not singing, or even if we're not singing, we're still experiencing and encountering the presence of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that when we stop singing, we're not looking at one another and saying, what do we do now? Because the Holy Spirit is working among us. So I want to encourage us to connect with his power from above. And I want us, and I ask myself, to be questioning my source. And I want to encourage us to be abandoning ourselves to the Spirit of God. We don't like abandonment. Particularly as Brits, we don't like anything that goes over the top or is a bit extreme. Ooh, it's a bit over the top. God is not interested what we look like. God is interested in touching our hearts. God isn't interested whether I'm got tears streaming down my face. Oops, sorry. Sorry, Chris. Getting carried away. Whether I've got tears streaming down my face and snot coming down my nose and laughing and crying at the same time, that doesn't interest God. He wants to know what's going on in my heart. He wants to connect with this. Other stuff may happen. And I'm not saying it has to be emotional either. What I'm saying is I have to know where the source of my power is coming from. And there's just a couple of things I want to encourage us this morning to consider doing practically. The first one is, let's fall in love with Jesus again. And again. And again. And again. I wrote something down this week. I was looking at Genesis and Jacob's encounter with God at Peniel, where God wrestled him. And you heard me say, remember Jake and who was it? Jake and someone wrestling up here, didn't you? Jake and
John.
That's right. You had a good wrestle up there. You won. Jake. We'll pray for you later. You remember I was saying that's as close as God could get to Jacob, coming physically close to him, face to face. You know, arm to arm. And God wants every day of our lives to be a Peniel. Every day of our lives to be a face-to-face, cheek-to-cheek, close-up encounter with the living God. Anything else is a waste of our lives. It is. Because everything else will go. All the stuff we accumulate, all the reputation we try and get, all the honor we try and get, all those things will not last beyond this life, this physical life. The good news is, I love this news, what will endure and last is our relationships, is our investment into people, is our building up one another, is the fruits of the Spirit, all that stuff that goes into our character. Yes, we get to take that with us. Praise God, that's the good news. But so much of what we're investing our lives into is going to be going up in flames in the crematorium. To put it bluntly. But so much of it will survive. That's what Jesus means about treasuring up things in heaven, about concentrating on the things that really matter and that will last. I'm getting carried away, and that's not in my notes. Jesus loves you, and he wants to bathe you and to immerse you constantly and me in his Holy Spirit. That's why he's called the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. It's not about some supernatural one-off experience. It's about a daily bath, a daily immersion, a daily walking into his presence, a daily hugging him and getting close up to his face and saying, Jesus, I can't imagine what I would do without you. Jesus, you are the best thing about my life. Jesus, don't ever go out of my sight. Don't let me out of yours. Fall in love with Jesus again and again and again. He wants to hold your face. He wants to kiss you, to bless you, to love you. And if that's a bit close up and embarrassing, tough. Jesus isn't British. Hallelujah.
He's not Indian either, right?
Now let's not get into that. But secondly, and this is something I'm speaking out of my own experience. I'm being careful here because I'm sharing my experience, not preaching at you, all right? But personally, I've found a new closeness to the Father's face through the gift of tongues. I've been speaking in tongues most of my Christian life. Since I was a Christian, 4 years into being a Christian, the Lord released his Holy Spirit on me, and I loved getting into tongues. But through my life, it's kind of been up and down. But just recently, the last year or two, I don't know if I've shared this before, but particularly, I get a thing, what I call, Anne knows about this, I get a thing called stressed chest. That's what I call it. I think it's called chondrochondritis in official speak, medical speak. I won't go into what that is. But if I get stressed, I get this pain here, and it gets on my nerves, and it's nothing really bad. It's not heart stuff. But what I found was, speaking in tongues, I actually went away. It stopped. I know it's a stress thing, I know it's psychosomatic and so on, but it was a real surprise. Because I'd get this thing, and I go, oh, I wish it would go away, and then God would know and say, speak in tongues. And I did, and I was just like, oh, that's amazing. So I can just testify that walking in the Spirit actually helps you physically too. And singing in the Spirit as well, because that's also in the Scriptures. Time spent in expression of worship. I love singing in my understanding. I love singing in tongues as an expression of relationship with the one I love. One thing I've been really encouraged with over the last couple of weeks, I've been reading again 1 Corinthians 14, is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:14 about speaking and singing in tongues, that when I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. Oh, why didn't I see that before, God? Why have I only just, after however many years of being a Christian, realized that? That praying in tongues isn't just about my tongue doing stuff and pleasing you. It's actually that it's a way of my spirit being released to pray and to encounter you. When I sing in tongues, my spirit is singing. Paul says, my mind is unfruitful. And again, Brits don't like that. We don't like not knowing rationally what's going on. But actually, it's a blessing. And I've been so lifted up that through speaking and singing in tongues, I'm praying and singing with my spirit. I'm not saying there's no other way to pray in the Spirit, but I am saying one way to be sure of praying and singing in the Spirit is to speak and sing in tongues. And it's animated by the Spirit of God. Personally, when I pray for people, their names are in my mind, but often I'm praying. So if I'm praying for you, I'm often praying in tongues, but your name is in my mind. I love it. I love being, because I don't exactly know what I'm praying. Actually, I know what I'm feeling, and I'm often feeling a lot when I'm praying for people. I'm praying in tongues, and your name is in my mind. I think that's what a great way to pray. Praying in the Spirit, praying with the mind as well. It's amazing. And I want to encourage us. There's been a fashion around in recent years to rather dismiss this gift and say, well, I don't really need it. Bill Johnson, again in his book, Hosting the Presence, says, it's such a shame when we take that attitude, because if I gave you a gift, I gave Alison a gift, and Alison opened it, said, well, that's not really worth very much, is it? You got anything else? I've given you the gift. And actually that gift is important. It doesn't matter if it isn't the most valuable one you've got. Actually, I'm beginning to find it's very valuable. I feel it's a bit like a field that I can walk out into that takes me beyond my own building. I don't exactly know what's going on out there, but it's a nice wide space and I haven't got to worry about whether I'm praying the right thing or saying the right thing or doing the right thing. God is in it. So I want to encourage us to seek God for it, not to despise it. And thirdly, I want us to question our outcomes. Question our outcomes. I said that I was personally getting worn out with stuff I was doing because I was producing, and I still am producing, by the way. A lot of the stuff I'm doing, I'm still doing, but actually my source. You see, it's the source that's different. That some of those things get transformed. My soul still gets tired. I still get tired. I still get down. I still get weary. But you know what? I'm learning, and it's taking a while, but I'm learning that if I put the, oh dear, train picture again, the pantograph up. If I catch the wires, we're going to see a lot of pantographs in the city over the next few months with the trams coming and going. That's the thing on the top that draws the power. If I just reach into Jesus, I just reach into the Spirit and draw from him, it transforms the body and soul. That's why Paul is saying, walk in the Spirit. Run in the power of the Spirit and everything else will fall into place. You'll find the energy. You'll find the input. You'll find the delight. You'll find the place to go and cry and shout at God when it doesn't go right. You'll find a place of welcome and intimacy. That's what it's all about. See, my little body and soul are busy going all over the place, and I was running under these wires, and all the time there's an overhead power line that I can just get hold of and zzz, and go. And maybe actually some of you, I know my wife will now be able to tell me when I've taken the contact down from the power line. Colin, have you been with Jesus recently? A friend of mine actually, Chick from Perth, you know Chick from Perth, started asking people the question, how's Jesus today? How's Jesus? That's a very interesting question to ask someone. You know, either they say, oh, he's lovely, he's so good. Or they say, well, I do pray. Work the rest out for yourself. There's one key reason, and I've not got much more to go, so you'll be glad to know. So we will get some worship done in a moment, Drew. We'll be ready to come in a couple of minutes. But there's one key reason why we need to live in the Spirit. It's because it will be the power source of our new resurrected existence with Jesus. In the new heaven and the new earth, the Lord is actually inviting us to come and experience some of that now by walking in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15 and 44, Paul is talking about the resurrection body. And he says this, he says, it's sown a soul-sustained body. The literal Greek is a psychic body. It is sown a body that has been used to operating on the soul and the body power. But it is raised, he says, a pneumatic body. Pneuma, pneuma is the Greek for spirit. And it's raised, like the body Jesus has, a spirit-empowered body. Wow, that's the promise. This is talking about the new bodies we will all receive at the resurrection. The kind of body Jesus has when he rises from the dead. When we die, our soul-powered, psyche-driven bodies die. But when we rise, says Paul, our new bodies will be animated, no longer by the human psyche, the ordinary life source, but they will be spirit-powered bodies. I ought to mention, I've been mentioning Bill Johnson, so I ought to put some deeper theology in here and mention something from N.T. Wright. After I've read Bill Johnson for a while, I always have to go and read some N.T. Wright. And then when I've read some N.T. Wright, I have to go back and read some Bill Johnson. Just get balance. But one thing, you can come to ask me later about that if you want. But one thing N.T. Wright, who's the research professor of New Testament at St. Andrews, former Bishop of Durham, great guy, he says this about what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 here. Paul's language here, he says, is not about the substance of which the body is composed, but about the driving force that animates it. It's the difference between, on the one hand, talking about a ship made of steel or timber, and a ship powered by sail or steam or nuclear. For Paul, the psyche, that is the soul, is the breath of life, it's the vital spark, it's the thing that animates the body in the present life, but the pneuma, the pneuma, the spirit, is the thing that animates the resurrection body. And this is where the link is made. The spirit is already given to the believer as the down payment of what is to come. Do you get that, people? The Holy Spirit is not just a little helper who comes in to get you through life doing all the things you like to do. What God is giving you is the foretaste of the eternal life to come by living in you by the power of His Spirit. This is the down payment. I agree with N.T. Wright completely. This is the Greek says, the aravon. This is the earnest. This is the guarantee of what is to come. The Holy Spirit in us. Christ in us. The hope of glory, he says. Why would you want to keep going, I say to myself. Why? Because you know what the end of that is? You get to the terminus, you run out of fuel, there's nothing left. But God's lines of power go on for eternity. Since the Spirit who raised, this is N.T. Wright again, the Spirit who raised the Messiah from the dead will give life to the mortal bodies of those who belong to the Messiah. That's Romans 8, 9 to 11. In Paul's discussion, the psyche is simply the life force of ordinary mortals in the present world. The psychic body is mortal and corruptible. The new immortal self will be the resurrection body animated by God's pneuma, by God's spirit, the true temple of the living God. Ooh. Oh, it's so exciting. The point is, the Lord is inviting us now to try some of that life out in Him. That's why the Holy Spirit is bringing healing and transformation. That's why the Holy Spirit is releasing drops of resurrection when people's bodies are touched and lives are changed. Because one day we will live that every day, forever. At the moment, it's drops of it. And we don't see as much as we want. So I'm closing. Actually, Drew, you could come. The band could come. Get ready. I want us to make contact. Not just now, not just in this meeting, but I'm encouraging us day to day. Find a place with God. Get close up to His face. Don't let go like Jacob until He blesses you, until you know Him there. I want us to switch off the engine that drives. Switch off the diesel. And let Jesus empower us with His Holy Spirit. What if we all stopped doing all the stuff that churches do for a month and just got together and sought God's face together? Rupert and I know that there's a church not a million miles from here within the boundaries of the city of Edinburgh that are doing that. Now. But the trouble is, our activity is our crutch. Oh, we can't stop doing it. Oh, but that's really needed. Oh, we need that. Let's make sure, whatever we do, that the power source that we're working from is the heart and the spirit of the living God and not our human energy. Because I've been finding that smokes me out. Jesus, would you come? Just let's bow our heads for a moment. Just really sense. I've been sensing this for a while. I know many of us here are sensing it too. God really loves us. God is really after us. If I've offended anyone this morning or you feel at all condemned or beaten over the head, please forgive me. That's not been my heart. It's not God's heart. He actually wants to get close up and love us. He wants to hold us. He wants to say, come in. Come in and tell me about yourself, about your day, about who you are. And He wants to fill us. He wants to wash some of us. For some of us, it's been a long time since we felt that wash of God's love over us. And you're really longing for it. Just take a few moments just to invite the Holy Spirit to come, to be our lover, Jesus. And if this morning you're here and this is all new to you and you've never recognized that you have someone who loves you like Jesus loves you, well, all you need to do is to reach out your hand to him, as it were, and just invite him. Say, Jesus, I want to get to know what this love is about, why you love me so much, and why you're prepared to come and die and rise again, and how you could invite me into life forever that goes beyond this body in the power of your Spirit. Just while the musicians play, just for a moment, just explore the space with God.